as we welcome in Frank Saravalli from the Daily Faceoff. Good morning, Frank. How's the West Coast treating you?
It's beautiful this morning.
Is it?
Perfect sunrise here in Vancouver. What a place to be.
I mean, like, you're just busy. I see you're going to the bars. You're buying everyone rounds. Is that what's going on out there?
So you'll enjoy this story. Yeah. So we have an event last night at Greta Bar here in Vancouver. Just a little watch along Q&A. Walk into the bar, absolutely packed with Oiler fans.
Really?
So I start chatting with them, and they're here. They're all Edmonton firefighters, and they're here for an adult hockey tournament.
Oh, cool.
So they go, this is our little 5-day bender that we have out here with our buddies. And yeah, they found a place to watch the game, and it just happened to be the home of Oilers Nation.
Oh, that's such a cool story. And I bet the what was the atmosphere like in there with the Oiler game?
It was great. Yeah. Like, sound up loud, and the guys were into it, and had some people stop by, so it was awesome.
Oh, good stuff. What's the feeling out just in Vancouver with the Canucks, coming back to win game number one over Nashville? Set the stage. What's the atmosphere like in Van?
I think a big sigh of relief. I mean, look, the team was down heading into the third period, probably hadn't played exactly the way that they wanted to, and to get on the board, to feel confident, I think is hugely important. I mean, think about the inverse of what Vancouver's like. Yeah. This is a market that kind of feels like at times it implodes on itself. And so to get that one on the board, probably pretty significant for the Canucks, and to now feel pretty confident heading into game two, I think they're in a good spot.
Mm-hmm. Frank Saravalli, Daily Faceoff with us on Sports 1440. Yesterday, you sent the Twix out regarding Mark Stone and the Vegas Golden Knights. What are your thoughts on that yesterday and a day later after Stone scores a goal in the Vegas 4-3 win?
Yeah, I mean, who else was going to be scoring the first goal of the game last night but Mark Stone? I mean, you could have written it 3 weeks ago, it feels like.
Yeah.
It is quite a pattern, and I truly believe, and this is my opinion only, technically the Vegas Golden Knights are not breaking any rules. Mark Stone is healthy. There is no salary cap in the playoffs. He's eligible to be activated off of LTIR because they have no reason not to, and he plays. So park that for 1 second. I still think this is a significant competitive integrity issue for the NHL.
Yeah.
This is 3 years in a row that a player is injured in mid-February that just happens to make it back for round one of the playoffs. And when you can take $9.5 million off of your cap and spend it, and you have the ability to park certain players on your roster at this time of year, it's an advantage that no one else has.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it significantly tips the scales. And, perhaps not shockingly, the Vegas Golden Knights, defending Cup champs, get the heartbeat of their team back in game one, and on the road as the 8 seed, beat the number one team in the West to open up their series.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I can tell you that in talking to people around the league yesterday, there are managers and there are team executives that are very unhappy, but they've also called the Vegas Golden Knights essentially on the carpet before at general managers meetings, and then more or less tabled what to do next. And until there's significant action from the general managers, which would then need to prompt the NHL to engage in bargaining with the NHL Players Association, nothing's going to change.
I like your word pattern there, Frank, and that's what it is. The feeling here, and I think this is from all Oiler fans, is that, everyone in town here is glad that it's someone else's problem here for the first two rounds.
Well, the Oilers ended up in a great spot on, with Vegas being in another bracket.
Yes, that's what I'm saying here. So
if you take advantage, if you're the Oilers, of your path, which I think is probably about as solid as a path as you could ask for.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I watch a game like last night and say, so critically important for Edmonton to get off to the start that they did. It was exactly what I had mentioned to you last week about, hey, will this team show us if they've learned any lessons?
Mm-hmm.
Right out of the gate last night, McDavid, video game mode. Hyman doing his thing in front of the net. Stuart Skinner coming up with some big saves. Everything that you need, all the ingredients to show not only that your team is on another level than the LA Kings, but that you're going to try and make as quick work of this as possible and not let this team hang around.
Mm-hmm. So you, as you said, you mentioned and you talked to GMs because it's Dallas and they, you know, were a game or two away from the President's Trophy and now are just three games from being eliminated in the first round by a team that is, again, as you say, not breaking any rules. But will there be something done a little bit more because this is a team like Dallas that could be facing elimination by a team that Vegas is doing what it is?
I mean, there's not going to be any more unless someone actually steps up to do something. And then this is a collective bargaining issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that even if they wanted to, the NHL could unilaterally decide on their own.
Yeah,
they're going to need to give something up to the players in order to change the language of this rule.
Yeah. Frank Saravalli with us on Sports 1440. Around the league, Frank, man, oh man, the Islanders thought that they were going to be going back to Long Island, tied at one, and then boom, 5-3, Carolina wins it. That's sometimes you can't rebound from losses like that, but you never know. Having said that, Carolina in the driver's seat after that big come from behind victory last night.
I don't know which one's worse for the Islanders. Game one, in which you significantly outplayed Carolina and still lost, or game two, where you were outplayed and had a chance to win.
Mm-hmm.
They both hurt. I think the makings of both those result in a short series. I had Carolina to sweep. Now they go on the road. It's not like Long Island's going to be a scary place to play. And I think they're in a spot where if they play their cards right, in what's been a really odd series for the Canes, because they didn't really look great until the second half of yesterday's game, then they're going to be in a fine spot.
Mm-hmm. Toronto Maple Leafs needed a big-time game from their big-time player. They got that last night with Austin Matthews to even that series at one.
Oh, the hands. That goal was ridiculous. Look, it's really simple. It's a math equation for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Jason Gregor and I were talking about this yesterday on the DFO rundown. 52 games now that the Toronto Maple Leafs have played in the Austin Matthews era.
Mm-hmm.
52 playoff games. Heading into last night, they had scored two or fewer in half of those games. I mean, the recipe is simple.
Yeah.
Score and win. How does a team with that much firepower, that much spent on their cap table, a team that finished second in the league in offense this season, struggle to score? And they needed to get over the hump last night in game two to even the series. Got to put three on the board.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not putting three on the board, you're not going to win. It's as simple as that. At least three.
What did you think of the change in goaltender by Jim Montgomery for Boston?
I think it's fascinating. I think this is a team that's been their MO and part of their success the last few years. Is the tandem, the strength of the tandem. It's not just one guy, but no one's ever really done this. No one's gone into a playoff saying, you know what? We're going to rotate. This is our plan. Even teams that have ended up splitting the workload, like I think of the two Pittsburgh Penguins back-to-back wins, Matt Murray and Marc-Andre Fleury, both those times were due to injury and or poor play.
Yeah.
One guy got yanked and ceded ground to the other, and then the other just ran with it. In this case, Montgomery was roundly criticized last year for not making the change earlier in the series. Now they do it, and I guess some people will want to be critical of that. I like it because that's the way they've played all year, and I don't see any reason to change it. But that also doesn't mean that it's guaranteed to work.
Mm-hmm. Winnipeg and Colorado, Frank. I think anyone would say we didn't expect to see 13 goals in the first game. And if you were the Avalanche and said, we're going to score six on Connor Hellebuyck in game one, we're probably going to win the game, or good chance anyway. Do you see things tightening up a lot in this series?
Well, I would expect to, just because Winnipeg was, you know, the best defensive team in the league this year, allowed the fewest goals, and that at some point that would swing toward the Jets favor. There's a lot of things that I don't like about the game, even though the Avs doubled up the shot attempts and shots on the Jets, 46 shots on goal. And as you mentioned, six past Hellebuck and you still don't win. It was way more than that for me. I didn't like the body language. When you watch the Avs players, they really seem to sag after Georgiev allows goals.
Yep.
And that to me, I'm not in the room, so I can't ask the question, but it looks to me like a team that doesn't really trust its goalie. And after this season and his numbers, I mean, hard to argue that. And it also looks like he doesn't trust the guys in front of him to defend properly. And in a short, potentially short seven-game series, that's could be a lethal combination.
You know, I've been told by people that are in the know that the Avalanche have gone on record saying we will outscore our problems. That's a big risk to take come playoff time.
It's the wrong team to try and do it against. And that's why I was saying before this series started that I think that this is the perfect matchup for Winnipeg because they're willing to let Colorado run around like crazy. They think they can defend better and their goalie will prevail in the end and they'll be opportunistic enough with what Colorado gives up.
Just want to circle back to the Oilers game last night. Texters coming in with queries regarding the hit on Vinny Desharnais from Trevor Moore. They bring up a couple of years ago with Josh Archibald and Dylan Stanley received a 2-game suspension, I believe. Is this suspendable or do you just see a fine?
I would think it's probably more toward a fine. I definitely don't like how Trevor Moore drops his body. But I think the end result, we'll see.
Do you think if Vinny doesn't finish the game, then it's a suspension?
Yeah, if there's an injury on the play, yeah. I think that certainly probably heightens the awareness.
Yeah, there was a lot of talk about that. And just got to get back regarding Stone, and I don't recall this. This is a text coming in. I just want to clarify a couple things here. So this comes from a freezer bag text. You might have done this on the Daily Faceoff. It says, Frank said that Stone was seriously hurt and said that people, or he ridiculed people for saying otherwise. Can you clarify how that was going back to, you know, a month ago or whatever regarding Stone?
Well, I wasn't ridiculing. I was just saying that the reason he was going on LTIR at the time, an authentic, legitimate, significant injury. My issue now is that the timeline is just too perfect.
Yeah.
To be all of a sudden waltzing out of the dressing room for practice 1 week before the playoffs begin, and magically he's cleared 2 days before the playoffs begin, that's some incredible healing powers. It's not that he's healed. We knew he would be at some point. But my point that I would make in return is if he's healthy enough to play game one, then he was healthy enough to play game 82 and 81 and probably 80.
Yeah.
But they couldn't activate him because they didn't have the cap space to do so.
Right.
So they game the system and wait until there is no cap and then put him in.
Where are you at tonight, Frank, in Van?
I'll be at the game tonight.
Oh, you're going right to the game. Okay. Well, I thought maybe you were at Greta. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to keep track of you, man.
I'll be at the game.
Hard to keep track of you.
Yeah, well, hey, look, games are important.
Yeah. Hey, I really enjoyed, I enjoyed the whiteout, you know, Sunday, and then I enjoyed when the Canucks came out to U2. Where do you rank, that's one of the best parts of the playoffs. The very first couple of minutes when teams are coming out skating on the ice. Where do you rank, some of the places, and how would you rank Van, Winnipeg, and maybe even here the last time you were here? I don't know.
Well, I'd say, and this is not me pandering to the market, no one really does the playoffs like Edmonton. The watch party outside. Yeah, they can fill the street in Winnipeg. Usually it takes a round or two to get there in Winnipeg. Edmonton, it's right off the hop.
Yeah.
And just what I love is how the intensity ratchets up from game 82 or 80 to the playoffs. It's a whole different viewing experience when you're in the building. And I can't imagine what it must be like to be a player and be in that that dressing room and hear the crowd and feel the building shake before you even go out. Yeah. I mean, it sends chills up your spine thinking about it. And it's first time in 9 years here in Vancouver on Sunday night. I mean, that's as special as it gets.
Yeah. Hey, have you got time for one more, Frank?
Sure.
Okay.
For you, anything.
Oh, thanks, big guy. So I've been getting lambasted. We were talking about the disallowed goal by Trevor Lewis last night. So I felt it was a goal. Rob Brown from Oilers 630 CHED Radio Network, he is saying it's a goal. I would say because it's a goal against the Oilers that was, you know, disallowed, 95% of our listeners and texters say it should have been no goal. Where do you stand on that play? Was it a goal? No goal? Is it clear as mud? What do you think?
Oh, I think it's no goal. I think the call was correct. Okay. Whether or not he meant to, he clearly directs the puck down with his glove. And I guess you could maybe make the argument if you were watching baseball, did the end of his bat hit the ball? And is it a foul ball? But that's not what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. Glove coming down appears to hit the puck, clearly redirects it. Whether he was falling backward or not, and again, whether he intended to or not, doesn't really make a difference. And it's a clear no goal in my view. And by the way, maybe the most unheralded part of the whole thing was Trevor Lewis's reaction on the bench.
Yeah.
Because that was outstanding.
It was good. I'm going to agree to disagree. I think it's a goal. And
Why?
Because I don't think if you look at the exact rule. So if you look at the exact rule and what it says, I'm going to pull it up here, the exact rule. Sorry, Frank. I'm just going to take me 1 second to pull it up.
So are you referencing the intent with hand contact?
Yeah. So the rule, so when the puck has been directed, battered, or thrown into the net by an attacking player other than with his stick, when this occurs, is deemed to be done deliberately. So I still think that it wasn't done deliberately. I think if he's facing more towards the net and not like, you know, basically his back is towards the net. So it's going off his glove.
He's viewing the direction of where the puck is coming from.
So how can he physically bat it towards the net?
Well, look at the angle of his glove and how it perfectly matches up with the puck.
I think we'll agree.
Is it
to
just
disagree.
An accident?
No, I think it's a goal. I'm glad it wasn't a goal for Oilers fans.
He's lowering his hand at the exact time that the puck, like it looks like he's trying to knock it in.
Yeah. I love it. And you should see our text line. It's great, Frank. Hey, thanks for this, buddy. We'll talk to you on Thursday. Enjoy the game tonight. When are you going back to Philly, or what's the next stop on the Frank
tour?
I'm
going from Van to Nashville, so I'll be on this Canucks series the whole time. Wow,
good stuff. I'll stay at a Tootsie's.
I'm getting body bagged across the continent.
Oh, man. It's going to be a great trip. Appreciate it, Frank. Thanks, bud.
See you, Kevin.